Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Born in Brisbane, Shane Cook, a Melbourne-based singer and songwriter, had his debut album release in 2020 after spending years playing guitar with other bands. That album, Epiphonetics, set the stage for his solo career and his latest release, Miles Away. Shane joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his solo career and the February release of Miles Away.
Hi, Shane. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with us all the way around the other side of the world, the down under, or depending on how you guys refer to it there in Australia.
Not a problem. Great to be with you.
Yeah. We've done this before, actually, which is kind of cool. I love getting to revisit these conversations.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm still in the industry, which is a bonus, right?
That's right, yeah, because it was, when I went looking, it was round about 2020,
either 2020.
Was it 2020? Okay, so we had already experienced the major bump in the road. I forget what part of the year it was, but you were just launching your solo project, correct?
That's right, yeah, so in 2020... was my first album, so that was about October, so I'm not sure what time we spoke, but it was probably around then, I'd say.
Well, if it was October, then we had kind of come through the first round of the pandemic and hadn't quite experienced the whole shakeup of the economics yet. So how did you weather that as an artist?
Yeah, that was interesting. I suppose a lot of plans were put on hold and, it was just something we had to kind of deal with. I dealt with it by pretty much locking myself up and writing heaps more.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is kind of where the fruits of those times are coming out now for releases this year. But, as far as a normal life and, playing shows and monetary aspects of being a musician, it was pretty terrible.
Yeah. And I think you guys had it a little more suppressed in Australia, if I'm not mistaken. You guys kind of got locked down pretty hard.
Yeah, well, I was in Melbourne. Okay. And at one point we had 8:30 p.m. curfews.
Wow.
One point, so in 5 kilometer radius maximums that we could leave. So yeah, it was something that felt very doomsday at the time. I was actually lucky. So between the fifth and sixth lockdown that we had, because we had a lot, I had escaped up to the east coast of Australia to see my girlfriend in one of the quick breaks before lockdowns. And then within 2 weeks, we were locked down again in the city, and I got to stay for 6 months by the beach, so that was
wow.
Kind of fortunate.
yeah for sure. So you mentioned Melbourne. Is that home for you generally?
Yes, Melbourne's home. I grew up in Brisbane, and okay. I go back to Brisbane quite frequently because I still have I've got a recording studio in Brisbane called Hunting Ground Studios. So I still go up there and record, and I do a bit of production with other artists. So I'm frequently up there, usually once a month as well, but Melbourne is home.
Yeah. Okay. And if I remember from our previous conversation, you didn't necessarily start out as a young child as an artist. I think I remember you saying you started in your teens playing music.
Yeah. I was a bit of a late bloomer.
Yeah.
15. Although my mother told me that at the age of 3, I was sprouting off that I wanted to be a songer, I called a singer, I suppose. But it wasn't until 15 that I picked up a guitar. But I was one of those kids that sort of came home from school every day and played for 6 to 8 hours nonstop. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a good foundation.
Yeah, yeah. Was songwriting for you a part of it right away?
No. I started off as just guitar, and then I probably didn't even start singing till 10 years after that. And then it probably took another 5 years after that before I started songwriting. So it was a slow blossoming process.
Yeah.
I sort of found the love for guitar first, and then through playing with multiple acts and duos, the singing kind of was almost not forced upon me, but was suggested. And then I quite enjoyed that. And then, you know, the natural progression once you're singing and playing guitar is to write. And then I fell in love with that. So it was I think it was a gradual process of falling in love with each aspect of the process.
Yeah. We mentioned a couple of minutes ago, your debut wasn't till 2020. What was the antithesis of your music career prior to creating your first debut album as a solo artist?
Yeah, prior to that, to be honest, I'd been playing in multiple other bands and other people's projects. So, you know, I was in a couple of bands that toured around Australia, and, you know, I spent a lot of time playing in, I studied jazz, so I played in a jazz duo, and, yeah, filling in and sort of session playing for a lot of other acts. So until that point, I'd just been chipping away at my own music, and I suppose, at that point it was time to release some and start that journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and until that point, I suppose my original music wasn't out there at all.
Mm.
But I've enjoyed every aspect of it, but now I couldn't see myself be anything else but an original musician. So sort of this last song that's out was a co-write with actually a guy from the States, Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Richard.
Sure. Yeah.
I found myself writing with a lot of different people. The next song I've got coming out as well will be a co-write. So I've really kicked into exploring working with different producers and artists as well.
Mm. Your debut album, I believe I've got the name correct, Epiphonetics. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember folks can go back and listen to our original discussion. We kind of dig into that pretty deep and where that came from. What was your – and that had just come out when we talked. What was your experience of that being your demo or your debut CD and as a solo artist and away from a band, so to speak? Did you find your audience, your tribe pretty quickly with that music?
Yeah, look, I've got a small but pretty dedicated fan base. Small but growing.
Yeah.
I think, releasing it in October 2020 amongst the lockdowns and then followed by a year of lockdowns sort of slowed the progress as far as playing it out live. But I did last year in Australia in multiple venues.
Yeah.
And I suppose that aspect slowed down, but I think it was good from the perspective that I had, until that point, releasing music was such, it was anxiety provoking, and I'd worked it up in my head so much.
Mm-hmm.
By getting it out there had, an effect personally of, well, that's done. I can just keep doing it now and kind of relax with it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think my my modus operandi these days is just to keep doing it and keep releasing regularly to slowly build the fan base. I know my music isn't probably, you know, pop top 40, but I want to keep releasing music that is 100% true to me and comes from me. So I'm not going to be, you know, guided by trend or anything like that. So, you know, with my attitude with that is just to keep going and find my audience through continually putting out music and doing my best to get it out there, really.
When you get into your songwriting process, are you creating music because there's a message that you feel like you want to share, or is it more about the artistic side of it? And you're putting this art out there that you're hoping that your fan base is inclined to enjoy.
Yeah, no, I think,
or maybe
pretty
both.
Much the writing. Pretty much the writing process for me is often the meaning of a song is found later.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's sort of intuitive, and lyrics and melody and everything like that tend to come. I don't usually sit down and go, I'm going to write a song about this, this particular subject or anything like that. But sometimes I'll find that something comes out and it kind of becomes a meaning to it.
Right.
I'm a big believer that, you know, everyone sort of makes up their own, you know, meaning from art anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't sit down and write with a distinct message or purpose. It just doesn't generally happen like that.
Yeah. Okay.
It kind of comes out of the ether, and then sometimes I attach a meaning to it.
Right.
or sometimes it kind of, the words or the take of the song kind of just leads towards a meaning.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Sure, yeah. Sure, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, sometimes we listen to music and you're like, oh, I wonder what the artist is trying to say here, or, you know, it must've been a traumatic experience for them to write that song. And it's interesting to know that at least some of you guys, you're not that deep into it. It's just the lyrics feel good. They fit like they they mix with the song well, and it's up to the listener to interpret. And I'm glad that there's both approaches to that, because sometimes as a listener, we don't want to think that hard anyway. So,
well, I think sometimes, and you can't deny that past experience and elements of your life weave into that anyway.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
I think it's all part and parcel, really.
Right.
Yeah, of that. Yeah.
So you have a new single, Miles Away. Is this part of a new album that's on the way, or have you not got to that part of it yet?
Well, I was kind of deliberating last year about, I've definitely got enough, demoed songs to put an album out.
Mm-hmm.
But my deliberation last year was, there's such a mix of the type of songs in there. So a bunch of them fit together, and then another bunch of them fit together, and I was kind of struggling to see which ones would fit together on an album.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go the way, and, you know, having a smaller fan base and not having, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people just to present it to straight off, I feel that the album release really works for well-established acts.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe single releases are a good idea for, you know, acts trying to build a following, because it gives you more opportunities to, you know, come out there and present new work. Whereas you put out an album, you know, the people, you've got one chance to present it, and then people will try and find it. So I think where I'm leading with it is to release a bunch of singles this year, hopefully one every I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
And then hopefully that will lead to these songs kind of grouped together enough for an album, or there'll be enough writing there that, you know, I can go into the studio and finish off another few, and there'll be an album's worth there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I decided to approach it, because the going in and recording an album, you know, felt kind of not ready. So I didn't want to stop the momentum.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, so I decided to go this way and see how it happens, see how it works. Mm.
So the ones that you are, so is this the first one then of the bunch that you have?
This is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, and that's been out how long?
So since the 9th of Feb.
Okay.
So a few weeks now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. What's the response been? Are you getting people input?
Yeah, I've had quite a favorable response. Awesome. A lot of people like it. Yeah. I know that my music is a certain taste, and not everyone's going to like it, but that's normal.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, the responses I've had and the feedback are really promising, and you know, I'm gonna work with that and take it as a positive. So,
and so I presume you mentioned that you have a group that kind of fit together and another group that fit together. So the ones that you're releasing now is all within one of the groupings. Then you're not mixing them up.
Yeah, that's right. I've actually got another one or two writing projects on that are probably going to be released under a different banner.
Mm-hmm.
Which are completely different. One of them's more of a studio-based production style creation of music, so which will be completely different to this. So, which I like doing because I like different types of music.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's probably going to be out this year as well. And I think for my creative fulfillment, that's pretty important to me. The songs that I write under my solo project seem to come out fairly easily. You know, are often sort of started with a guitar or a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, this other project that I'm doing, is a lot of it is based on synth and is a little bit more beat orientated, mm-hmm. which you probably wouldn't even recognize was, you know, my writing. So,
okay.
So yeah, that's how I'm kind of trying to fulfill that, that need of, sort of crossing genre as well.
Sure. Yeah. So will you, have the opportunity to get out, tour, what type of venue does your music, do you find it fits in? Will you get to do that with this music?
Yeah, what I'm probably going to do is start off with releasing a few songs, and then I will aim to sort of tour around off the back of that. I like venues that are like small halls. I kind of like the Laura Marling, I'm not sure if you heard of her, mm-hmm. in a church mm-hmm. A couple of years back, and that was quite appealing. I kind of like that small, intimate venue that just, I don't know, just the room has a really good sound.
Yeah,
That'd be my ideal, but, you know, I've also, and don't mind going and playing at a pub either. so
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but, you know, my ultimate would be, you know, the small, intimate hall, or, you know, even church sort of.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, okay. And you've got some things lined up already for this year?
Yeah. I haven't actually booked anything in because, like I said, I wanted to release two or three of these before I mm-hmm. sort of kick that off. But, I've got all the contacts of the venues sort of being in the industry a while that I need to contact. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's just a matter of locking in the times, really.
Yeah. So, okay. Awesome. So, if folks
and then
want,
you can spread the good word out in America, and make sure I can come over there one day.
Yeah, it was absolutely, man. We would love to have you over here for sure. We'd love to do that. That's part of what we're doing here today too. So I hope that you get some connections this way. And my next question then is, how do you like to communicate with people? How do you want them to reach out to you? They want to listen to some of your music. What's the best way to do all of that?
You know, the usual channels, I think, you know, jump on my Instagram or Facebook, or my website is www.shaynecook.com. And that will give you all the details and where to go to listen to music and how to buy merch and shows upcoming, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just the show of support of having a listen is would be all I ask.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's good to talk to you again, Shane, and I'm glad that the first trip around the sun worked and you're doing it again and that you're still playing and still creating your craft, and I wish you well with this turn at it too.
Yeah, great. And thanks for having me on your show again.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good day. Thank you.
Cheers, Greg. Have a good day.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.